Well, in keeping with the old traditional songs today, here's what an old traditional pastor would say. If that don't light you fire, you wood's wet. Y'all did such a wonderful job this morning, worship team. Thank you so much. Thank you, Brady, for that rendition of it as well. I'm so glad it's well with my soul. I hope it's well with yours. If not, get it well today. It's not like COVID. You don't have to wait 5 days. You can get it well right here, right now. Boom, it's well. Praise God. Beautiful, beautiful job, worship team, as always. As always. I was repeating this memory verse walking in here. I got it down. I'm telling you, I got it down. Something happens to me when I get up here, but I'm going to try it. John 14:23. Jesus replied, if anyone, y'all help me now, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Yeah. By the time we get through all this, I'll be pretty good at memorizing one verse. Today's message, we're in week 9 of Experiencing God, and the title of the message is Experiencing God's Love is Your Choice. And of course, the memory verse, John 14:23, Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your precious word. Thank you for your truth that never changes. Lord, this world changes daily. Sometimes our own thoughts and feelings change, but you are eternal in the heavens. You have given us your eternal word that we can hold in our hands and learn all that we want to know about you. And so once again today, we turn to your word because we want to know and experience you. So, Father, let your word speak. Let us hear your Holy Spirit speaking to our hearts. And may we respond appropriately. In Jesus' name, amen. So, reality number 7 of Experiencing God says this. You come to know God by experience as you obey him, and he accomplishes his work through you. That's how you come to know God, by experience. As you obey him, he'll accomplish his work through you. See, obedience is a choice. When God takes the initiative to invite you into his work, you must adjust your life to him. And even after you've adjusted to him, there's still one last step that you have to take, and that step is obedience. Obedience. Obedience is your choice. I think about Isaiah 1:19-20. It's a couple of conditional statements. Listen to what it says. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. If you're willing and obedient. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. I think that's interesting. One if is has you eating the good of the land. The other if has someone eating you. The sword devours us. It says, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So we have a choice, and he makes the consequences of those choices clear. He clearly defines them right there in his word. And here's the other thing about obedience. It's your choice, but also it's your moment of truth. 1 John 2:3-4, it says, now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth's not in him. See, it's your moment of truth, obedience is. Listen, what you do at the moment of truth reveals what you really believe about God. What you do at the moment of truth determines if you will experience God's mighty work in and through you. What you do at the moment of truth determines if you'll come to know and love God in a more intimate way. Obedience is our choice. Obedience is our moment of truth. You know, we must choose to obey God first, and then he'll accomplish what he chooses to accomplish through us. It doesn't begin by him working through us. It begins by us walking in obedience to him. That's when he can work in your life. You think about Moses and the children of Israel. As they left Egypt, what did they do? They started marching toward the Red Sea. And so why was they doing that? They was marching in obedience. And you know, they would have never seen that God-sized miracle of him parting the Red Sea if out of obedience they didn't march to the sea. Now I want you to think about that. Put yourself in their sandals for a moment. Imagine you're marching with them and you're probably whispering to each other, why is Moses leading us to a dead end? We know that the army's behind us and they're bearing down in their chariots and he's leading us to the sea. It's like they're just going to drive us in. They were having a crisis of belief. And they were wondering, why is he doing it? But out of obedience, they just kept marching. And because of that obedience, they was able to see the sea part. And so in obeying God, there's always going to be a crisis of belief, and it's always going to be a challenge, and you need to just keep marching. If you think you've heard from him, you keep marching on, and he's going to show you great and mighty things. Obedience, see, it's a choice. You don't have to do it. But also, disobedience is costly. It's costly. Disobedience is rejection of God's will. That's what disobedience is. God's perfect will. Now, he gives us a choice to obey or not, but if we want his perfect will, there's not a choice. If we want his perfect will, we have to obey. Choosing not to obey is rebellion, and it brings serious consequences. Moses and the children of Israel, they saw the Red Sea part because of obedience. But then because of disobedience, they never got to enter the promised land. So disobedience comes with a cost. And here's the thing. God's not interested in our good words. It doesn't matter that we say he's Lord. It matters that we prove it by doing what he says. Now I want to show you a picture of that in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 and 23. Listen to this. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, see, he's not interested in just words. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, talking about the day that we stand before his throne and we're judged for our choices on this earth. He says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Did we not do that, Lord? See, that's more than just words. That's also works. Did we not do that? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Listen, disobedience has a high cost. And God's not interested in our words. Lord, Lord, you're my Lord. He's not interested in that. He's not interested in our good works. Just as faith without works is dead, so works without a love relationship with God is dead. I think about our memory verse again, John 14, 23, and I want to also read 24. It says, Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he'll keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Verse 24, the one who doesn't love me will not keep my words. They'll not be obedient. They'll not follow me in what I'm asking them to do. God's not interested in our good words. Lord, Lord, I believe in you. He's not interested in our works. Didn't we cast out demons for you? Didn't we do all these great things for you? Prophesy in your name. He's not interested in that. Here's what God's interested in. He's interested in our love proven by our obedience. That's what God's interested in. Let me ask you a question. Which path are you on today? A said love or a proven love? Which path are you on? Obedience or disobedience? That's the question that we need to wrestle with this morning. And you might be thinking, I want to prove my love by obedience, but preacher, I don't even know what that looks like. How do I do that? So I want to give you 8 keys to grow in obedience. Here's the first one. Obey what you already know to be God's will. You know, some of us, we know way more about God's will than we're willing to obey. And can I tell you something? That if we're not willing to obey what we already know, God will never trust any new assignments to someone that hasn't already fulfilled the assignments that he's already given them. And the assignment comes right out of his word. It's like the rich young ruler. He says, you know the commandments, honor your father and mother, you know, all those things. And he says, oh, I keep all those. But anyway, he's not going to trust us with new assignments if we haven't already obeyed what we already know to obey. And I think about the parable of the talents. And you can turn with me. It won't be on the screen, but Matthew chapter 25. Let me just read this parable to you because I think it's very eye-opening as to this first point that we should obey what we already know to be God's will. It says, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on his journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. Now, after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. Now I want you to listen. You were faithful over a few things, and I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Now I want you to think about our memory verse for a moment. It says that the one who loves me will obey me, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. That's what he's saying right there. He said, I'm going to make you a ruler over many of my things, and you're entering into my joy. You're coming to live with me. I love you. You love me. I love you. I'm taking you in. That's what he's saying right there. Then verse 22, it says, He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Again, he loves those that obey him, and he brings him into the fold there. It gives him more things to do. And then verse 24, then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I know you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there, you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast that unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You didn't obey me, servant. Even though you worked to dig a hole in the ground, that's not what I asked you to do. You disobeyed me. You don't love me. I'm sorry. You're not entering into the joy of the Lord. Obedience is so important, and the lack of obedience is so costly. So we're talking about these 8 keys to grow in obedience, and that first one is obey what you already know to be God's will. Those 2 servants, he told them what his will was, and he told them what to do, and they went out and did it. And once they did that, then when they come back and proved their obedience to him, he gave them more. He gave them abundance. And that's what he wants to do for each and every one of us today. But I'm telling you, there's only one formula to get there, and the formula is obedience. And it begins with obeying what you already know to be God's will for your life. Some of us struggle with pet sins. Some of us struggle with you know, all kind of worldly things when God is telling us to act different, to think different, to do different. But we find the world's way easier than God's way. And so we try to do it like everybody else does it. But God says, man, just do it my way. I want to bless you. I want to come to you. I want to make my home with you. But you got to do it my way. You got to do it according to God's will, not our will. So key number two, remember that God accomplishes only after our obedience. Only after. When you obey, God will accomplish through you what he purposed to do. He's not going to do it if you don't obey. He didn't do it for that slothful servant. He didn't accomplish anything through him because he never obeyed. Then key number three, if you do not obey, you will miss some of the most exciting experiences of life. I've stood up here and read from journals of experiences of my life. And just to have stories written down of what God's done because I wanted to just obey him, it's amazing. I would have never experienced the things that I've got to experience. I just realized, it just hit me this morning, I am in my 30th year of ministry. 30 years. Now, that's not why I did that, but thank you. But I just thought, man, 30 years, and I started reflecting back on all that God's allowed me to do. It's such a beautiful thing. But if we don't obey, we'll miss some of the most exciting experiences of life. I got to believe for the children of Israel, seeing that sea part had to be one of the most exciting experiences of their life. They never would have experienced it unless they obeyed. With all their doubts, with all their fears, they just kept marching and trusting God, and he gave them one of the most exciting experiences of their life. Key number four, be willing to patiently wait on God's timing. God-sized tasks require preparation. This is hard. It's hard to wait on the Lord. We are so apt to run ahead of him. Oh, Lord, that's what you want. I got it. I know how to fix that. I'm going. I'll be back when I get it done. No, sometimes we have to be patient. Sometimes we have to wait. And that is really hard to do. But we got to be willing to wait on God's timing. God's timing. So many times I've gotten ahead of God. But I've learned as I've grown older that I can't afford to do that. Just last week, it's like God slapped me on the hand because in a certain situation, I was getting ahead of him. And he quickly said, no, Barry, hold up now. You need to wait on me. You're running ahead. Number five, let God orient you to him. The servant, this is so good. The servant does not tell the master what he will do. I mean, think about it. If you're a servant, you know, you've seen the shows on TV where you have the rich people, they have the servants, and you don't see servants running to them and going, hey, let me tell you what I'm going to do for you. Here, can I polish your shoes? Here, have this food. I just fixed it for you. We're not all in their face. It's like you wait in your servant's quarters, and when the master is ready for you to do something, he'll ring the bell. He'll let you know it's time for you to show up, and he'll tell you exactly what he wants you to do, and you better carry it out exactly. The perfect will of God. Listen, we cannot be telling God what we'll do. So we need to be praying, Lord, orient me to you. Show me what you're doing. Show me how you want me to follow you in your footsteps. I have a way that I do this. I just pray and say, Lord, don't let me get too far ahead, and don't let me lag behind. Let me see your footsteps every day. And Lord, I just want to step right behind you. I just want to walk in your footsteps every day. And so I have to rely on the kind of prayer like that that will help me to be oriented to him and not me telling him what I'm going to do for him. Then there's the key number six. Do not measure the value of an assignment by human standards. People want a big, want to be the big deal. People want the big title. People want to be recognized. They want to be out front. There's so many people serving in this church that we never even see their service. So many things that happen behind the scenes. And some people might say, well, it's not much, but I do. Oh, yeah, it's much. We can't look at what God asks us to do and only decide to do the big deal things. We can't do that. We have to be willing to do anything He asks us to do. We can't measure our assignment by human standards. Then number 7, do not let difficult circumstances cancel what God has already said. Man, I could have done that a half a dozen times just being here. Difficult circumstance. Well, God, you must not be in this after all. Why am I here? No, you can't. You can't look at difficult circumstances and say, well, I guess God's not in it after all. Listen, if He's spoken to your heart and He's told you what He wants you to do, you carry it through. It doesn't matter how difficult life gets. And then the 8th key, God will not give you an assignment that He will not enable you to complete. If He asks you to do something, He's going to do it through you. Remember, when we obey, then He does. He's just waiting for you to obey. And you say, well, He's asked me to do way too much, more than I can do. Well, then that's God. That's how He works. He asks us to do things bigger than us. We've talked about this in past sermons. He asks us to do things that are so much bigger than us that the only explanation when it happens is that it had to be God. And then we know Him in a more intimate way. That's how God works. 8 keys to growing obedience. Now, what to do if things seem to go wrong? So let's say you're doing all of that. You're believing Him, you're trusting Him, you're not getting ahead of Him, you're being prayerful, but yet everything seems to be going wrong. I want to give you 5 things you can do. 1, clarify what God has said and be sure you've not added to it. We can get ahead of God. Just clarify what has He said to you and be sure you're not trying to add to it. 2, keep what God has said in the forefront of everything. Listen, when God calls you to do something great for Him and you're trying to be obedient and you're trying to accomplish what He says He'll accomplish through you, there's all kind of voices will come at you, some internal, some external. There's all kind of voices that will try to get you to lose sight of what God is asking you to do. But we have to keep what He has said in the forefront. Man, I'm having to readjust to that every day. Constantly reminding myself what God has said He will do and what He wants me doing for Him. 3, do all you know that God has already asked you to do. We covered that before, one of the keys. Just be sure you're doing what God's already asked you to do. 4, then wait on the Lord to show you what to do next. That's so hard. It's so hard to wait. We're just not a waiting people in America. We're so impatient. We want it now. We want it yesterday. I'm telling you, it's McDonald's that's done this to us. Just, I want to drive through and get my God today. I've seen churches with drive-through churches. Anyway, that's another point. I'll chase a rabbit in a heartbeat, won't I? 5, let God work out the details in His timing. Again, when you're waiting on God and you're saying, God, I'm going to wait. I'm going to trust You. I'm going to believe that You'll work out the details according to Your time. And right now, I'm just going to do what I already know You've told me to do. Man, that's huge. That is huge in just giving obedience to God and saying to Him with the way that you live your life, Lord, I don't understand it, but I trust You. I trust You, Lord. And I'm going to keep trusting You. And I'm going to keep walking with You. And I'm going to keep waiting as I need to wait. And I'm going to tell you, these have been principles in my life for those 30 years. And God has done it again and again and again and again. And can I tell you something? I'm nobody special. Y'all know that by now. I'm just a country boy. But man, God will use anybody. And the things that I've got to experience Him doing through mine and Susan's life, I mean, all we can do is look up to heaven and say, that was God. Man, that was so good and that was so God. That's the way that He wants us to live. He wants us to experience Him in doing. Now, one more thing, what to do if you're disobedient. Because sometimes you're not experiencing God. Sometimes you're not moving forward with Him because of disobedience in your life. We talked about that earlier. Three things. One, confess and repent of your sins of disobedience. Listen, if you're trying to live for the Lord and you get out of His will and you get ahead of Him and you get out of His will, He's going to let you know. And you need to stop right there and you need to confess and you need to repent that sin of disobedience. And once you do that, then you got to trust in the promise of 1 John 1:9 that if we confess, He forgives. Because sometimes we sin and we feel so bad about it, we think, well, He's not going to forgive me this time. No, 1 John 1:9, if we confess, He forgives. We got to trust that. And then thirdly, we have to rededicate ourselves to love God enough to obey Him. We don't rededicate ourselves saying, Lord, you know, I love you. No, we rededicate ourselves to say, Lord, I love you so much, I will start obeying you again. I'll start obeying you again. That's not easy to do, but that's the only way to get back in God's good grace. There's no other plan for that. It's 1 John 1:9. It's repentance, confession, and forgiveness. You know, sometimes we can get so far from God that we feel like He would never take us back. I mean, we can get that far. And if you're feeling like that today, I want to encourage you with this truth. God is the God of second chances. He's the God of, I know that for a fact myself. He's the God of second chances, third chances, fourth chances. He's the God of giving you a second chance. And as we speak about God this morning and in this message, we're saying that the only way He's going to accomplish His work is through our obedience, and that's true. And as we hear that, it could lead some to believe that if they've disobeyed God, that He's never going to give them an opportunity to serve them again. I can see how people can feel that way, but can I tell you something? That if we'll get to that place where we'll admit our faults, where we'll admit our disobedience, and we'll claim 1 John 1:9, then you've got to remember, here's the thing about God. He's not looking for a working relationship with you. He's looking for a love relationship with you. And He loves you. And He's going to give you a second chance. He can do anything He wants without you or me. His relationship with you or I is not contingent on what you have or have not done for Him. It's contingent on how your heart is towards Him. Do you really love Him? Do you really strive to obey Him? Do you really want to walk according to His will and His way? He's the God of second chances. I think about Jonah's second chance. You know Jonah's story. God asked Jonah to go preach to Nineveh. And because Jonah was a very prejudiced person, especially against Nineveh, he disobeyed and he tried to run away. He tried to run away. He was planning on running away 2,000 miles. Now, that's a long way today. Imagine if he was going to get on a boat and sail 2,000 miles. But he was going to run away. And you know what? It almost cost him his life. And you know how the story goes? He tells the guys, throw me overboard because the ship was about to sink due to a storm. And they throw him overboard. He gets swallowed by a fish. We know all that story. In the belly of that fish is where he got right with God. He realized that he had went the wrong way. And he also realized that God loved him so much, He wasn't going to let him keep running. God will come after you. He will not let you be at peace when you're out of His will. He'll chase you down. He'll pursue you to the ends of the earth. The Bible says that His love covers the globe, that it's north, south, east, west. There's nowhere we can go that He can't find us and love us and draw us, and He'll convict us. And He put such a conviction on Jonah that Jonah, he repented. And he says, God, give me a second chance. And that's when the fish spewed him out of his mouth. And then God says, okay, you want your second chance. Here's what I want you to do. You know what He told him? I want you to go and preach to Nineveh. I mean, he usually brings us right back to square one. Now, you was disobedient in this before. Now, I think you know better. Now, go and preach to Nineveh. And you know, even going, he was reluctant. I mean, he didn't want to go. But he cries out to God in repentance. God gives him the second chance. He obeys him. He goes to Nineveh. And amazingly, on his first day in Nineveh, he preaches a message, a very brief message. Listen to it. A one-sentence message. Man, I wish I could do this. A one-sentence message. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That was his whole message. Eight words, and an entire city fell on their face before God and repented. Some believe it was over 120,000 people. Some believe it was more than that. An eight-word message because he was being obedient to God, and God was wanting to do something great through his life. His eight-word message, and everybody just fell on their face and repented. I'm telling you, that's a big deal for Nineveh because they were bad folks. That's a whole nother message, but they were the baddest of the bad. And that one little message and the Holy Spirit fell upon them and convicted them. And everybody from the poorest all the way to the king repented and fell on their face in sackcloth and ashes before God to get right with him. Amazing. One word sentence. Here's the thing. Think about this. After one repentant, Jonah. An entire city repents. You say, well, my life can't be much. Well, yeah, I don't obey God. I don't do all that he wants me to do, but I'm nobody. But one person could get their hearts right with God today, and you don't know what he'll do through that. Amen. One person, Jonah, repents, and an entire city comes to God. Only God could do that, by the way. Jonah had an exciting story to tell after that, didn't he? Well, we know the rest of that story, and he wasn't so excited about it, but that's another message for another day. But it's what God can do. God's the God of second chances. And I just ask you here today, do you need a second chance? Do you need a third chance? Do you need a fourth chance? You can have it through repentance and obedience. One of the greatest promises of God, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Man, that was one easy for me to memorize. I repeat it to myself quite often. There are days where I have bad days. You know, maybe I've had the wrong thought. Maybe I've committed a wrong deed. Maybe I've, thought evil of someone. I mean, I'm human. And even after I repented that, I'm like, God, I'm so sorry. Why did I make that mistake today? And then I just say, Lord, all I can do is claim 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9. I believe that I've confessed, and I believe that you're going to forgive me and you're going to cleanse me, and I'm just going to get up and go on with you, Lord. One of the greatest promises of God's word. He's the God of second chances. You know, here's the last thing. Obedience. Now hear me now. Obedience is the test of our salvation. 1 John chapter 2, 3 through 5. I read it earlier. I want to read it again and add verse 5. And remember what I'm saying here. Obedience is the test of your salvation. Listen to what it says. Now, by this we know that we know him. By this, what he's about to say, if we keep his commandments. That's how we know we're saved. It goes on to say, he who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. If you're saying, Lord, Lord, but you're not doing what he says, don't be surprised when you stand before him one day that he says, sorry, I never knew you. Depart. Verse 5, but whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. By what? Obedience. I know for everybody in this room, it is not a problem for you to answer this question. Am I obedient or not? It's not a problem. You know. You know if you're not walking in obedience to God. And if you know that, today's message was prescribed specifically for you. And it's time to respond. And we need to respond to this message. Now, thinking about Jonah, let me ask you a question. What might God do through your life if you would just repent of your disobedience and restore your love relationship with Him? What might God do? The only way to know is to do that, to come back to obedience to God and say, God, I don't know what you want to do with this life of mine, but I'm giving it to you. And I'm believing that you want to do great things. And I'm going to follow you, and I'm going to trust you, and I'm just going to give you my heart. I'm going to give you my life. And then you think about that 1 John verse again in chapter 2, verse 4. And I'd ask you this question. Does your lack of obedience make you a liar? Does it prove that you're a liar when you say you belong to God? Let me read it again. He who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar and the truth's not in him. See, here's the thing. It doesn't matter what we say. We can say, Lord, Lord, you know I love you. We can come here every Sunday proclaiming the praises of the King. But you know what's in your heart. And you know how you're living your life. And all I've done is held up the mirror of God's word to you this morning that tells you that you can't live any old way and claim to know Jesus. You have to repent and you have to obey. In other words, it's a life of surrender. A life of surrender, of saying, Lord, I've tried it my way so often. I've worked hard. I'm trying every way I can to get through this life. And he's saying, that's your problem. You're trying every way you can, but you're not relying on what I can do through you. And remember what I said earlier? God's will always has to start with your obedience. God's not going to perform what he says he'll perform or what he wants to do in your life. He won't do it until you come to the place of obedience and surrender to him. Until you come to a place to where you get on your knees and say, God, here I am. Rescue me. I will never forget that day for me. Never. Where I was broken and I was battered and I was bruised by this world, and all I had left to think of was Jesus. And I remember saying, Jesus, if you won't let me die, you got to do something with me. And I mean, immediately it just felt like the Holy Spirit said to me, that's all I was waiting on. I will, Barry. I'll do something with you. Man, my life transformed beginning on that day. I have the privilege of my 30 years of ministry of walking through it with this precious lady right here. That was one of God's blessings. Man, that was God's size. I often ask her, I say, Susan, honey, what did you do? She's like, what do you mean? I said, what did you do that God punished you that you had to live with me all your life? But I'm telling you, God wants the best for you. He loves you. He wants to pour out the most abundant blessings in your life. But it's your choice. God's love is your choice. There's no other way around it. So you have an opportunity today to choose Christ. And you say, well, how do I do that? Well, just come forward to me and say, Barry, I don't know how to do it, but I'm ready to choose Christ. And I'll share with you how to pray a very simple prayer, surrendering your heart to Christ. Some of you, you're already believers, but you know that you're not walking in obedience. And for you, you need to just come to this altar and bow and say, Lord, here I am. I need to surrender all once again. Because I want your best for me, not my best. So however God's been speaking to your heart through this message this morning, However you need to respond, you respond as they sing. Stand with us and let's sing together.
There's a place where mercy reigns and never dies. There's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide. Where all I've ever found comes by.